and they'll wipe out whole cities. Here in Cellini, the population is more self-selecting, more educated, and certainly aware every hour of every day how dependent we are on each other. And the news is uncensored. Apparently, there was a big nuclear explosion in New Mexico yesterday. The U.S. government claims it was an accident and only one person got killed. But I wonder. The commentators here in Cellini are all talking about the possibility of a nuclear war back on Earth. I'm not worried about it, though. The Starman won't let it come to that. The people of Earth don't realize it, not yet. But they've got a guardian angel watching over them. The Starman. Stoner. It's going to be fun watching how the world changes over the next 100 years or so. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Chapter 8. Bertram Feingold almost laughed at the irony of it. Here's the top political leaders of the world sitting in the same room with the top scientists, and I've been tapped to chair the final session of the meeting. Me. The hotel ballroom was filled to capacity. News camera teams lined the side aisles, focusing on Feingold's short, slight figure as he slowly climbed the 3 steps of the makeshift stage and walked to the podium set up at its center. An even dozen scientific bigwigs sat on folding chairs arrayed behind the podium, men and women from every part of the world. Feingold recognized each of them. Many he had known most of his life. Blinking in the unaccustomed glare of the camera's attention, Feingold thought he should have worn something more dignified than his old rumpled denims and this brightly colored island shirt hanging loosely over his slim frame. "But they didn't tell me I'd be chairing this session until half an hour ago," he explained to... "Who? Who am I talking to?" he asked himself silently. "God?" With a mental shrug, he admitted that, yes, he was talking to God again. As usual, God didn't answer. Not in words. He looked out on the jam-packed auditorium. Politicians in front, scientists in the rear. "So what else is new?" Feingold asked himself. Everyone was talking at once, most of them abuzz with the news reports that a nuclear explosion had taken place in New Mexico the previous day. No details. The American government had clamped down on the story almost the instant it appeared on the nets. They said the radioactive fallout from the blast was minimal, not enough to harm anybody. Maybe so, Feingold thought. Wait a few decades and see what happens to the cancer rate. One of the audio guys had clipped a lavalier microphone to the open collar of his shirt. Feingold leaned both his skinny arms on the podium and said to the chattering, fidgeting crowd, "Good morning!" His voice boomed through the ballroom, surprising him enough to make him flinch. The several hundred people in the audience quickly hushed and turned their attention to him. "My 15 seconds of fame," Feingold said to himself. "I've been asked to introduce the speaker for this morning's plenary session," Feingold began. "But he hasn't shown up as yet, so I don't quite know what..." Keith Stoner appeared at his side, as abruptly as a light switched on. The crowd gasped. Feingold jerked with surprise. Quickly recovering, Feingold grinned as he said, "I stand corrected. Allow me to introduce Dr. Keith Stoner, who has returned to Earth after traveling to the stars." No applause, not a sound from the audience. They sat as if paralyzed. Curiosity, Feingold mused. Or maybe dread. He stepped back from the podium and found the empty seat waiting for him in the row at the rear of the stage. Stoner stood alone at the podium, tall and solid, dressed in a short-sleeved sky-blue shirt and khaki denims. "Good morning," he said somberly. He wore no microphone, yet his voice carried throughout the cavernous ballroom. "Yesterday there was a nuclear explosion in New Mexico. You probably saw it on the morning news. No official explanation has been given as yet by the United States government. Be that as it may, I want you to know that it was the last nuclear explosion that will ever take place on Earth." The audience stirred, murmured. "At this moment, every computer on Earth is receiving downloads from the ship in which I traveled to the stars. every byte of data about the ship, its propulsion, and other systems is being disseminated all across the world. To everyone. There will be no secrets, not from the stars. Among the data is information on how to build energy screens that can protect entire cities against nuclear attack. And, of course, information on how to construct starships so that you can expand humankind's habitat to the Earth-like planets of other stars. Stoner looked down at his audience and saw disbelief, wonderment, hope, fear of the unknown. The reason that I returned from the stars, however, was not to bring you these gifts. The reason I returned is to tell you a sad, sobering truth. To tell you of an opportunity for the human race that is also a warning. They leaned forward in their chairs like one great unified creature to hear what Stoner was going to tell them. The truth is that there are no other intelligent species in all the star systems that my family and I have visited, out to several hundred light years. Life is abundant on the worlds we've seen, but intelligent life exists only here on Earth. That doesn't mean that intelligence has not arisen on other worlds. It has. But on each and every planet that once bore intelligent life, that species has destroyed itself. There are no intelligent species left out to several hundred light years from Earth. We are alone. A sort of collective sigh issued from the crowd. Stoner couldn't tell if it was disappointment or relief, sorrow or sudden anticipation. One of the women in the rear of the auditorium got to her feet. She was gray-haired, lean, flinty-eyed. "Are you telling us that intelligent races self-destruct? All of them?" "As I said," Stoner replied, "life is abundant in the universe, as commonplace as stars and rocks. But intelligence is rare. And wherever it once existed, it has extinguished itself, one way or the other. Overpopulation, war, environmental collapse. Intelligence has been very clever at finding ways to commit suicide. Genocide, actually." The woman sank back onto her chair. Not a sound from the audience now. It was getting to them. Good, thought Stoner. "There must be other intelligent races out among the more distant stars," he continued. "The universe is very big, and we've only explored a tiny sector of our local region of the Milky Way galaxy, out to about 100 light years. But in that region, we are the only intelligent species in existence. The others have all died off." Silence again. Staring, wondering, fearful silence. "So your challenge is the same as it's always been. Survival. Humankind has found ways to survive against beasts that once preyed on us, against ice age and greenhouse climate shifts, against disease and even nuclear weaponry. Now our challenge is to learn how to live within our means. We must stop overpopulating this planet. We must learn how to control our numbers. Can we survive against our own success? Can we learn to live wisely and take advantage of the gifts from the stars, the capability of expanding beyond the solar system to the Earth-like worlds waiting for us? We face no competitors out among the stars except ourselves. The only dangers ahead are the ancient enemies that have always threatened us: poverty, disease, ignorance, and death. The gifts from the stars that I bring you can help you to defeat those enemies, but only if you use them wisely. The choice is yours. It always has been. It always will be." Abruptly, Stoner disappeared. The audience gasped, then broke into hundreds of urgent, questioning conversations. Chapter 9. Angelique quickly found that, true to his word, Stoner was downloading incredible amounts of information to every computer on Earth. Sitting in her hotel room on Papeete, she watched the data scrolling by on the wall screen. Equations, formulas, images of strange worlds, cutaway engineering drawings of a spherical vehicle that must have been a starship, detailed specifications.